Hello, and welcome to Dice Masters United. I'm Spug.
I'm Ben.
I'm James.
And I'm Peter.
Coming up in this episode.
I've been to Worlds, and it went pretty well. I'll be filling you in on my trip to the big dance and breaking down the top teams from the event.
And I've been to the rest of the Worlds, which went not quite as well. I've got a report from that rather exclusive event and an interview with the winner.
All that and more in the latest episode of Dice Masters United. Hopefully that was enough bravado for Jamie.
Indeed, I'm sure it was. Well, welcome back, everybody. It's really good to have you with us. And you might have noticed there were only two voices in that intro. And indeed, we are but half a podcast, it seems, this time. Mm-hmm. There's just me and Ben, just the two of us, doing the DM United podcast this time around, because James is, well, he's on his holidays out
summer.
Of his own country. It's summer, it's all going on. And Peter is also unavailable at the moment, so we couldn't get all four of us together, and we just had to get something in the bag before I went away as well, because it's all going on the summertime. Mm-hmm. And what a time. But what a time to be alive it is, because Ben, you have just come back from, well, the biggest Dice Masters event in the calendar, the World Championships. And as you said at the top, it went pretty well. I mean, it's probably not spoiling anything for the listeners if I do wish you many congratulations on your successful trip.
Woo! Yeah, no, it's I'm obviously delighted. After about a year of not winning anything, I won a couple of things back to back, and obviously timed it well. I think probably I was one of the most practiced people there as well. practice works, guys.
It pays off. I know.
Play Dana every day for like a month and you'll be okay.
Yeah, it turns out building your team, doing that is much better than building your team the night before or even the morning of the tournament.
Tis indeed.
What a shock. Who knew? But no, very many congratulations. As we said in the intro, we'll be breaking down all the action from the Worlds over in Gen Con, talking a little bit about the rest of the Worlds as well. But yeah, just you and me, Ben, can we do it? Can we see the listeners through just the two of us? I think we probably can.
Well, I mean, we are the most intelligent and handsome.
Clearly. Because that really counts in a podcast, being handsome.
Yep.
Makes definitely, all the difference. Definitely. Excellent. Well, that's good. Well, should we crack on with the first segment then, which is all about your trip to Worlds?
Yes.
All right. Well, you have been to Gen Con, Ben, which is where the Dice Masters World Championships were hosted. Tell us a bit about Gen Con itself, for those who aren't familiar with the event. What is it? How big is it? Where is it held? And all that stuff.
I was already intending to go to Gen Con because obviously I'm a big board gamer.
Yeah.
It's probably the second biggest convention on the world calendar for board games after probably Essen Spiel in Germany. Mm. It's just a massive convention center down in downtown Indianapolis, which is a great city. Obviously, I'm a bit biased because I went to university there. So yes. One of the benefits of that is I had friends already living in Indianapolis, so I stayed with them.
Handy.
Very handy out there. Their location was perfect. She dropped us off every day, which was very nice.
Oh, even better.
I know. Great city to hang around in. And the convention center is massive. Yep. So loads of satellite places with loads of hotels doing different stuff. Lucas Oil Stadium having like a library and other events going on.
Really?
But the main...
In the home of the Indianapolis Colts.
In the home of the once great Indianapolis Colts.
Yeah.
When I went to university there, we just won the Super Bowl.
Oh, right.
And then the year I was there, got to the final of the Super Bowl with obviously Peyton Manning.
Yeah.
And then obviously that's been a very sudden and dramatic decline. So... Yeah, but still, it's a fantastic, it's really cool just going into a stadium and seeing it full of board gamers. It's like just a very kind of unexpected twist. You kind of walk down these little windy hallways and eventually you just get to the open field and you can just see it. And you are like up a height and you can see above all the tables laden with board games.
Really?
it's really cool. Yeah, it's really interesting spectacle, and one of the benefits of Gen Con. But the main hosting area, I suppose, is two really massive air carrier kind of air hangars. Aircraft hangars in the convention space. One for the exhibitors.
Yeah.
So all the stalls, all the places selling board games and selling anything you can imagine to do with board games and role-playing games and mini games. And then the other space was for events taking place, which is where the Magic tournament was, where the Dice Bus tournament was,
right,
where all the other kind of TCGs and board game events were happening.
Did you play any Magic?
I did not. I bought some Magic packs. but I'm pretty much finished with my Lord of the Rings collecting. I think I have a full basic set.
Oh, right.
Almost. I think I'm like three or four away from... Calm down, because it's not that exciting. The basic set is about half the cards in the full set.
Okay.
If you exclude like all the promos and special editions of the card, it's very confusing.
It sounds super confusing. I guess the price is a lot cheaper now that someone found the One Ring.
I know. Have you seen the video of the guy's hand shaking when he opens it?
No, I haven't actually. No, I haven't.
I'll send that to you later. He opens the card, he has it in this like really crappy like sleeve. And it's just his hand shaking as he's holding it and filming it.
Wow.
Well, 2.6 million. I know.
Good grief. Do you think your alt art Serena might be worth that one day?
Maybe one day. When the reboot happens.
Yes.
Dice Masters is kickstarted for $10 million.
Yeah, exactly.
I think it was the biggest Magic the Gathering tournament in the world, I think someone said to me.
Really? Like how many people?
It was bloody massive, I don't know. Lots of stuff happening. I kind of went over to the Magic the Gathering booth to see the prizes.
Yeah, yeah.
There's nothing Lord of the Rings related, so I didn't really care. But there was a couple of like Lord of the Rings drafts shooting off at the time I was there.
Yeah.
I was a bit tempted, but I decided against it. One of the interesting things about Gen Con is you have to have tickets for everything. You have to pre-buy tickets.
Oh, dear. Right.
So if you want to do anything, you have to spend these tickets, which are just equivalent to a couple of quid that you pay for.
What, like if you go to like a fairground or something? And
yeah.
That sort of thing. Really? How strange.
So I think a draft was 10 tickets or something like that.
Oh, right.
To do a Dice Masters draft. And I was like, it's just confusing. I just didn't get involved.
Yeah, that's weird. So what is that in real money?
I don't know. I didn't even look into it. That's a couple of quid. It's a couple of quid per ticket or something. $2 per ticket or something like that.
Okay. All right. So
there were loads of drafts for Dice Masters going on all the time.
Oh, good.
I went over and checked out, looked at a couple, but I didn't participate. There's so much other stuff to do. Just in the base, I just did a very basic exhibition hall. We walked back and forth down the corridors or down the aisles. Saw a bunch of games, bought way too many games. I had to carry on in my like... carry on.
Oh no.
On the plane. Oh, so I had this shoulder bag which weighed like, I basically threw all my clothes away just to have this carry on for games. And I couldn't carry it very far, so I had to stop every 10 minutes to give my shoulder a break. it was great. Yeah.
Brilliant. And so that's Gen Con itself. And then obviously one part of this and one major part of this for you was the Dice Masters World Championships, which were going on the Saturday. I believe.
Yeah, so bonus, like I said, there's loads of Dice Masters happening all weekend.
Mm.
I know there's a big draft on Friday and the Sunday. And then, yeah, the big main event on the Saturday, which basically took the whole day. People who obviously didn't get through to the semifinals and finals had a chance in the afternoon to go and see the exhibit hall.
Right, yeah.
Nick Wale, who ran the event, did a pretty good job at keeping it a tight ship.
Right. Yeah.
So the people who didn't qualify had time to go to the vendor hall and stuff. So, cool. Yeah.
What was the format then in terms of what happened at time? Like, was it like 35 minute best of one rounds or something? Or what was the.
So yeah, it was four rounds of Swiss. 35 minutes? I should probably know that, shouldn't I? It must have been 35 minutes, I guess.
Just best of one at that.
Best
point.
Of ones for the Swiss. And then went into the final 50 minutes best of three.
Right, yeah.
Which we'll get into a little bit because that was a bit of an issue in not my game, but the other semi-final. Time. And time obviously played a factor in some of my games, so I guess we'll talk about that a little bit. But yeah, it was a best of one Swiss rounds, four rounds of Swiss, for a top cut of only four.
Ouch.
Which makes sense because there weren't amazing numbers. I mean, I think Chris Williams pointed out that the UK Games Expo got similar numbers.
Really?
There was at Gen Con. I think there were more people there than just obviously were doing interested in doing drafts.
Yeah, yeah.
Instead of the Worlds.
There was, what, 14 players or something, wasn't it, I think?
Yeah, it was an even number, so 14, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, it's but I suppose quite a lot of it, we talked about this before, but obviously it was announced fairly late in the day, wasn't it? So
yeah, I mean,
difficult for people who weren't already going to actually get there.
It was, just coincidence that I was already planning to go because I know people in Indiana. I love board games.
Mm.
If you don't have that kind of thing, it's a nightmare to find anywhere to stay in Indiana.
Is it?
It's a very small city.
Yeah.
So you have to go into a lottery to get an actual place to stay.
Really?
You're not staying quite far outside of the city, yeah.
Wow. Cool. That's I didn't know that sort of thing happened. So, so you were obviously entering the Dice Masters World Championships, 14 players took to the starting line, and then what were you playing? And walk us through your team in terms of the choices that you made and the prep that you did, which is obviously pretty extensive.
I guess I should do the build up. Yes. So obviously we found out fairly late that Worlds was going to be at Gen Con, but we'd already kind of been testing out Worlds builds, like competitive builds, for a little while. But it got serious. I did some playtesting with you and James and Dana. A lot with Dana.
Yeah.
So General Nemesis. So big shout out again.
Last year's US Nationals champion and Worlds runner up.
I know, not a bad person to test against.
Friend of the pod.
Yeah, and he's been very, 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 what's the word?
Generous?
Liberal with his time. He was, I don't know how much, I shouldn't say any more in case he gets in trouble with work. I'm sure he did everything honourably, but it seemed like he was available a lot for me. where he's like, I really need to go to this interview. Just like, we have a meeting, I have to go.
Oh, I'm sure the time difference. I'm sure it didn't interfere with like in any way, shape, or form. It's all good.
Definitely. But I definitely owe him a lot for being so generous with his time.
Excellent.
So we kind of worked on a load of different stuff. In particular, obviously Master Mold.
Yeah.
And obviously, I think me and you did a bunch of testing with him pre last year's Worlds on his Master Mold team.
Yeah.
And one of the big things that I hated about that team was how reliant it was on very quick speed.
Yeah.
And if you got bogged down with missing Master Mold, it could be a problem.
Yeah.
There was no kind of pivot to do anything else.
Yeah.
And one of the things we found in playtesting was with the Secret Wars stuff, there was lots of ways to slow down Master Mold.
Yeah.
And therefore, you could make it into a longer game, especially Wonder Woman and the fact that Drax could come out and stay in the field because you had distraction.
Mm-hmm.
And with Pirate Broadcast, those four cards, I think in particular, made it that Master Mold needed pivot pieces.
Mm.
So that was the kind of thing we worked on a lot. And I kind of settled on this team. And it's actually the team I ran on video with James, which is kind of a pure Master Mold build, but it's very similar to Dana's Master Mold build from last year.
Yeah.
Except I kind of changed the buy order a little bit.
Yeah.
To make it a bit slower, a bit more reliable.
Yeah.
And had kind of the key pieces. And then we did Dice Fight XL, and I kind of played this off-meta rush team.
Yeah.
Which I think drew some people, which was good. And kind of my intention.
Yeah.
But Elliot did really well with this kind of really heavy control Pirate Broadcast team. Doesn't really care about what you're doing. It's just going to stop you from doing stuff and then poke you with damage.
Right, yeah.
And then me and Dana played that a bunch. He was like, I can't do anything against this. That's what, like, he's just going to stall me out and eventually he's going to win.
It's Infiltrate. Isn't it Infiltrate that he was
using? It's Infiltrate, Angela. Yeah. But on top of that, you have, like, Pirate Broadcast, you have this very clever, weird Falcon Global that kind of messed up your bag rotation.
Yeah.
Drax, Typhoid Mary, Wonder Woman control, and Dana started running this thing.
Yeah.
I just kept losing to it. I couldn't do anything about it. And we kind of had the core pieces of the Master Mold team. I was like, I don't really want to run all these globals. What can I do against it? I don't know why, but we tried the Mystique, Super Air Mystique. It's kind of a removal piece, particularly for Wonder Woman. And it was really effective because you could feel the master mold.
Just remind the listeners what she does.
So let me go. Yeah. So Mystique, super rare Mystique. When you feel the villain, you can spin an opposing character to an energy of your opponent's choice.
Because she's got Team Watch.
She has Team Watch with villains.
Yeah.
So if you feel the master mold, you can't generate the token for the initial field of master mold.
Mm.
What you could do is spin down Wonder Woman, which would enable you to get the token from attacking with master mold.
Yes.
And then carrying master mold, and then Wonder Woman is at least out of rotation temporarily.
Yeah.
And on top of that, it gave my opponents energy. And one of the problems with Mystique that I didn't like about it was that it gave your opponent the choice of what energy they'd rotate down to.
Okay.
Which they're always going to choose the best energy for them. In particular, if it's a character they're spinning down, they spin there down to two energy.
Yeah.
And be able to miss Sinister.
Sinister, yeah.
But I paired that with the Lilandra, which I'd used in the two-team takedown.
Hmm.
Just if there's, okay, you can have some energy, but what are you going to spend it on my turn? You're going to spend it on globals. And that kind of started to mesh together. So Mystique became a really important part with it. And I noticed also that one of the good things in combating Master Mold, if my opponent had it, was having a villain that was cheap.
Right.
So I ran this Deathbird, the 2-cost, deadly.
Oh, yeah.
And it just has deadly. It's a max 2, which is a bit of a problem.
Mm.
With a villain as well, so I got this 2-cost shield character which helped me buy Master Mold, was also a villain which stopped Master Mold's villainous pacting.
Yep.
And also worked with the Mystique, so I started running that. And then I kind of was playing it more and more. One of the other things we discovered was the Mr. Fantastic Rare was really, really good at removing Master Mold tokens. Mr. Fantastic Rare, if you don't know.
Yeah, go on.
Basically, when you field it, you choose an affiliation, your opponent chooses an affiliation, which sounds terrible, but basically no matter what affiliation you choose, the Master Mold tokens are unaffiliated, so you can always KO tokens.
Right, yeah.
It also really worked in, one of the other effective pieces was the Drax Typhoid Mary combo. Drax is a classic control piece which stops you from fielding. Typhoid Mary is a blanker, which blanks a card. Getting both of those out in tandem is really strong.
Yeah.
But Mr. Fantastic, no matter what you name, Mr. Drax and Typhoid Mary are not the same affiliation.
Hmm.
So you can always KO at least one of them.
Yeah, yeah.
You can always KO tokens. You can always KO sidekicks. So Mr. Fantastic became a key piece of the build as well.
Yeah.
And all this is in the background of, I can still do the Master Mold Rush. If I need to, I still have Mr. Sinister Global. I still have Villainous Pact. I still have Wolverine Prep Global. I still have Master Mold. I still have Dark Phoenix. I can still do the whole crazy, go as fast as I can on Master Mold if I need to.
Yeah.
But everything else on top of that was just kind of stopping them. But the thing that changed the most was the decision I really had at the last minute was, do I go for Deathbird, which is a 2-cost deadly character, villain, Molecule Man, which is a 3-cost deadly character.
Yeah.
But also had the free to field global.
Yeah, exactly.
And I really hated giving my opponent every single global.
Yeah.
But what swayed me was the fact that Molecule Man, you get more than two, which never played a part ever.
Yeah.
But the free to field global paid dividends with the Mr. Fantastic and the Master Mold. So yeah, that was kind of the makeup of the team. It was no 2-costs, Molecule Man, Mr. Fantastic, a Mystique, a Wolverine, Lilandra, Master Mold, Dark Phoenix, Mr. Sinister, and Villainous Pacts and Slingers.
And out of the stuff that you put in, then how much of it did you regularly buy?
I think we'll go into every game, I guess, but it all seemed very different no matter what I was doing.
Really, yeah.
I had this kind of, basically it was twofold. I had the kind of Lilandra Mystique control side if I needed to do that, and then obviously the Master Mold Rush if I needed to do that. The probably card I used the least was the Slingers Global.
Okay, yeah.
Because it seemed like everyone had a force attack.
They did.
Even Elliot had 2 force attacks, which when I played him.
Oh, did he? What, in an infiltrate team, I suppose, yeah, he can stop him.
Yeah, so the force attack was probably one I could have changed. I don't know why I would have changed it too, to be honest, in that action spot.
Mm.
But yeah, that was probably it's always useful to have as a threat.
It totally is. And I always think that it's always dangerous to, like, for example, when I've been building some of these sort of teams, I've thought about, oh, well, do I need to bring Wolverine as well as Villainous Pack? Because loads of other people are going to have it. But the trouble is, it does make such a big difference to your build.
Yeah.
If you want to do certain things, you can't rely on your opponents to bring stuff all the time. You can't expect that somebody else will bring you a Mr. Sinister, because it can really mess you up if they don't.
The Mr. Sinister Global was just the Wolverine Global I thought about taking out as well, because it seems it's only used basically if I go second.
Mm.
But when I go second, it's so important to have. And it also, Villainous Pact and Dark Phoenix Global do not work well together at all.
No, that's right, because of the timing. You KO something to buy something, and then you can't use the Villainous Pact to prep because you've already got something in your...
The other interesting, I suppose, decision, which was a minor case that had no impact really, was the Dark Phoenix, which Dark Phoenix to choose.
Yes.
And I've been testing with the rare, because it's a really good card.
The one that reflects back the damage.
Yeah, the old Jocasta.
Yeah, she's really good.
And I changed that at the last minute to the uncommon.
Which has the one that deals damage when it attacks?
And then it attacks, deals 2 damage, And it also, when fielded, KOs a Shi'ar character.
Oh, yes. Yeah.
Which could KO Lilandra, which basically was the whole point.
Yeah.
That was basically an edge case, but it was an interesting decision. I could have chosen any of the Dark Phoenixes.
Yeah.
And it didn't really make a difference in then, because I never bought it. Stuff like that is subtle, but important distinctions that you go through reiterating and play testing against people.
Yeah. Oh, no, there's a lot of really, really interesting stuff there. And it seems like you've obviously thought through your team in terms of combating the meta, and it's interesting because it seems like you've often had a situation where you've taken what is a meta team but then twisted it a bit and put in a couple of unexpected cards or two, you know, for example the Mr. Fantastic.
I think Mr. Fantastic and the Mystique were basically the two weird calls,
kind of wild cards. Those are the ones that people haven't really seen. They're not really expecting. And I suppose, you know, those are the ones that can make a difference in when you're facing kind of mirror matches or...
Mystique definitely played a big part in at least 2 of my games, which we'll get into, I suppose.
Yeah, we will.
Specifics. That was... Mr. Fantastic came into play in one of the games, should have came into play in the final, but didn't ever roll for me. But yeah, no, those 2 pieces were unusual. And I don't know if they were on anyone else's team, which is great. There's stuff I love, like... being able to play something that no one else has thought about or prepared for.
Yeah, it's really cool. Good. Well, you recorded a bit of a video diary, didn't you? Or an audio diary of your various
matchups. I did.
The quality is maybe not quite as good as it is when we're in this kind of our virtual studio, so to speak. But we're going to splice some of those in now. You've got a bit of an intro chat first, haven't you, before the first round? So shall we play that now, and then we'll come back in a tick.
Hello everyone, I'm recording here from Gen Con World Dice Masters. This is the first session of the day. We haven't even started round 1. People are gathering. Arj made me feel guilty by recording some of his podcasts, so I feel like I should record something. Interesting to see what happens today. Lots of unknowns for me. I'm running a master mold team with a few twists. Hopefully that'll be enough to disrupt some people. Seen some kind of pirate broadcasts. The Landers both are going to be a problem for me. Hopefully not too many Wonder Womans, and I'm hoping my secret weapon, Mr. Fantastic, will come in clutch against some of those master mold matchups. It'll be interesting to see what happens, the overall quality of the field. And hopefully I do well, but you know, never know against the quality of opposition you're playing. Anyway, I'll catch back to you up with you at some point, hopefully after the first round.
There we go. Well, that's the intro. You are at Gen Con. You can hear the excited gamers in the background.
The bustle of the crowd.
Exactly. The audience. They're getting their popcorn and they're all getting set and ready for the big kickoff. And I think you didn't record another bit of audio until after round 2. So let's catch up with that now.
Well, yeah, we have to say that Elliot made me go to basically time, which is why I didn't have time in between. I had to go straight into the second match because, we'll hear why.
Okay, so I just finished the second round. First round, I played Elliot. Oh, really close game. He did like a big swing on turn three or four with Angela. He managed to roll Angela and four sidekicks. He already had three things in the field. I had nothing, so he did eight damage, which really put me on the back foot, and I'd play kind of defensively from there. Managed to be a jerk, basically, and squeak out a draw using a combination of his distraction and my Miss Sinister. Didn't even get to Master Mold. And I think I was down to two life, so he missed Angela on turns, which was a blessing for me, and yeah, squeaked out a draw. Going into round two, I played Lucan. He was playing kind of a Black Panther-y thing. He had a bit of a rough time of it. Black Panther doesn't really work particularly well against Master Mold. I think in the first round as well, he played a Master Mold. So both times didn't go in his favor. Hopefully he can squeak out some wins to get my points up on track, because we might need it now that I've drawn the first round. We will see. Basically, he has to go undefeated. Two more rounds left. Let's hope the rest of it goes well.
All right, well, that was your little roundup. So, yes, you alluded to the fact there that you went to time in your first game against Elliot, who was there
the
playing...
Dreaded Elliot.
Dreaded because of his amazing tech, it sounds like. He was
so annoying.
Playing the anti-team, wasn't he, I think, in terms of cancelling everything. So he had the Angela that gives everything infiltrate, doesn't he, I think, and was building from there.
Yeah, well... Me and Dana were very acutely aware of Elliot's team because he ran it in the Dice Fight XL a few weeks earlier. And it was one of the teams we playtested with and against. And it was so painful to play against because it was so aggressive with the... When we were playtesting it, it was so aggressive with the control and the Pirate Broadcast. And Pirate Broadcast shuts down things so effectively. That it just became a problem for Master Mold. You can never get to Master Mold. And this was in the game, it turned out it was no different, even though I kind of teched in Mystique to try and stop it a little bit. And I had a way of playing against it in my head, which was to just try and take control of the Pirate Broadcast so I could miss Sinister Global. But I think like I said in the recording, turn four, I had no psychics because I'd KO'd them with Dark Phoenix Global to buy the Master to buy Lander, I think, actually.
Right.
He then rolled a bunch of sidekicks. He had the Drax out and he had Angela, which is an infiltrate, and just smacked me in the face for like 8 damage.
Ouch.
Lost none of his field.
Yeah.
And I just couldn't get rid of his psychics after that. The whole matchup became, can I consistently build a whole field just to stop any infiltrate damage?
Right.
And like I said, it went down. It just went to time. I just kept saving energy to turn off Pirate Broadcast, to be able to miss the Sinister, my own stuff, to refield my own stuff, which was mainly the Molecule Man, to be able to KO his Drax so I could maybe buy a Master Mold.
Yeah.
And it just, became a real slog. I did a little bit of chip damage to him. But he kept forcing attacking stuff. He had two force attackers, so I couldn't turn either of them off.
Right, yeah.
So it just became basically, can I stall him out long enough? I don't think there's any hope in me winning. And it got down to the final turn of time, so the third turn, and he whiffed his Angela.
Oof.
And he had more than enough attackers to do the two damage.
Really?
And he just missed the Angela. So there's one of the amazing things about Angela is that it doesn't care about distraction because infiltrate damage happens before distraction.
Yeah.
So I had saved these masks in the hope that he'd missed Angela. So he still had enough characters to attack and get through for two damage. I just happened to have his distraction to push them back.
Yeah. And he just had to jog the table at the right moment so that his Angela was on the different side.
Exactly. I did some hoodoo.
Yeah.
And it worked out in my favor, basically.
And losing there could have been fatal to your...
You don't want to lose in the first... Yeah, you just don't want to lose in the first turn. And that made a difference because there was another tie as well. So I felt good.
Yeah.
Two of the Mississippi guys, I think they're from Mississippi, drew in the first game. So I felt good about it in general because as long as you don't lose,
yeah,
it's okay.
Yeah, you're staying ahead. Good. And then you said you played against Lucan and he was playing a Black Panther. Is that the Black Panther team that spins down the rare, that spins down characters the when rare. You field a character? Or yeah. re-rolls them?
Well, I think the most interesting thing about that game, and Lucan won't really mind me, I don't think, saying that, like, just Master Mold was too good for his team, basically.
Right.
But the problem Lucan had was that he had sat next to me and Elliot the first game.
Mm-hmm.
And in that first game against Elliot, I didn't even buy Master Mold. I was just defensive the whole time.
Yeah, yeah.
So I was doing the Lander control, Mystique control, and trying to cycle these villains so I could remove his sidekicks and blah, blah, blah. So Lucan saw that and was like, okay, Ben's obviously trying to build a field, trying to control a little bit. I'm going to go for Black Panther because that's going to disrupt the control.
Right.
So his first purchase was the Black Panther. My first purchase was the Master Mold, and I completely ignored any kind of control because I, conversely, had seen Petrus play against Lucan, and Petrus just had a pure Master Mold as fast as I can team.
Yeah.
And I basically did the same thing. It was over by turn four because he got his Black Panther out, but Master Mold doesn't care about Black Panther.
No.
The other thing that happened to Lucan and Arge, who are both amazing players, they hadn't read the cards, they hadn't play tested, they hadn't done their month training with Dana. and they thought that the Black Panther could reroll Master Mold when he fielded tokens, but he doesn't field tokens, he places them.
He places them, yeah, that's right, yeah.
And basically, yeah, just Master Molded him, Lucan in the face. But it was an interesting case of Lucan not going for the pieces that could have stopped me because he'd seen me play in the first round a very particular way.
Yeah, yeah.
I think Lucan had the uncommon Phoenix Force Cyclops, which is a little bit like the rare Dark Phoenix, where you can force block a bunch of tokens, and then whenever Phoenix Force Cyclops takes damage, you reflect that damage back on your opponent.
Yes.
And if instead of Black Panther, he had bought the Phoenix Force Cyclops, they're both six costs.
Hmm.
And if he'd done that instead, he might have stood a chance. But yeah, he didn't, because he'd seen me play the first game in a very particular control-y way.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, interesting. Okay, well, that was your first two rounds. So you were basically, what was it, 1-0-1, were you, indeed, after the first round? A win, no defeats, and a tie. Shall we play your next bit of audio now?
Okay, so just finished round three. This time I played Jocelyn. We have a Master Mold mirror match. I went first, and basically Jocelyn fluffed a lot of stuff in the first three turns. I don't think she hit a good roll, let alone like a perfect roll, just not even a good roll the first few turns, and she's really on the back foot. Both got our Master Molds, but obviously I got mine first. She did a good job putting me on the back foot a little bit by buying a villainous pack off of me quite early. She wasn't running one of her own, instead she was running Pirate Broadcast and Distraction. Kind of an interesting little combo. You can turn off Distraction when you want to. So yeah, interesting use of Pirate Broadcast. And basically just, she got unlucky. It was just kind of whoever got Master Mold out first was going to do the most damage. But yeah, she made me make some tough decisions. I eventually got my Villainous Pact and was able to walk through after KOing her Master Mold with my deadly Molecule Man. On to round four, final round of the... on to round four, which is the final round of the group stages before we go top cut.
The group stages. It's like the Champions League. You can... Good stuff.
Well, never let it be said. Yeah. I'm not the Manchester United of...
It sounds like, it sounds like from there that you were kind of riding your luck a bit. You, Elliot was just a one roll away from beating you in the first round. Then you had a win, and then it sounds like Jocelyn just had a very bad time with her.
Jocelyn's team was really interesting, actually. She had kind of what I did at Dice Fight XL with the Thor pivot piece with the rush.
Yeah,
she wasn't using rush; she was using kind of like a generic Master Mold setup, but had the Thor and the Master Mold, so she could go for either.
Yeah.
In this match, she went for Master Mold, obviously, but this was very much a case of us both knowing our buy orders, and her buy order just going completely out the window because she didn't roll the things she needed to.
Yeah, yeah, that's so frustrating, isn't it?
So one thing that changed about the way Dana played it in Worlds last year, and the way a few people played Mastermold in the first in last year's, is that if I went first, I wouldn't buy Mastermold turn two.
Right.
Which a lot of people would still do. The reason I didn't do that was on turn two, if you put Mastermold into your bag, there's no guarantee of getting it turn three.
Yeah.
So I'd rather make sure my bag was completely fixed so I guarantee getting on turn three and my bag was perfect.
Yeah.
So in the game against Jocelyn, what I did was I prepped once, missed Sinister twice, turn one. Turn two, you buy Miss Fantastic, you prep twice, and you miss Sinister once. And then turn three, you buy Molecule Man, sorry, Master Mold, and you set your bag up perfectly.
Mm. So then you have him on turn four.
Yeah, then you get him on turn four, and you still have a perfect ramp, and you still have everything.
Yeah.
On turn two, what I do, if I went second, sorry, turn one, I double prep, then Sinister.
Yeah.
Then on turn two, buy Master Mold and prep the Master Mold.
Yeah.
This is kind of what Jocelyn set up to do, except turn one, she couldn't double prep, so all she could do is miss Sinister and feel the Psychic, I think. So that completely messed up your purchase order. It completely messed up your bag.
Yeah.
I think turn two or three, she bought a Villainous Pact, which is a really good move. So she bought Villainous Pact before she even had Master Mold.
Yeah.
Which is really clever because it meant that I was always a little bit wary in case she pulled out, even though her bag was a bit messed up. You could still pull the Villainous Pact and the Master Mold on the same turn and still do a bunch of damage.
Yeah, that's right, yeah.
So I had to play a little bit defensively, but generally it went pretty smoothly because of those early messes up from Jocelyn in terms of just her dice did not play fair.
Yeah, yeah.
And a bit of a shame, really, because Jocelyn had a good pivot piece with the Thor, and I think she could have done really well if she'd managed to... If she'd rolled perfectly, it would have been a very 50-50 game.
Mm.
Mastermind matchups are very 50-50, as we'll see a little bit later. Her first three turns, I think, were awful. An interesting thing that she had, which I don't know how good it is against Master Mold, really, she had the rare Poison Ivy. That was her kind of solution. And the rare Poison Ivy reads, when fielded, I'm going to just go off the top of my head what it does.
Yeah.
When fielded rare Poison Ivy, you name a character and you can name tokens. But every time that character die attacks, you make a token.
Right, yeah.
So if Poison Ivy is fielded and there's a Master Mold Sentinel token in the field, she can name Sentinel tokens.
Right,
yeah. And then whenever you attack with Sentinel tokens, Poison Ivy basically makes a token of her own.
Yeah.
Which can just block the Sentinel token. Block it,
yeah.
I don't know how well that works against Villainous Pact. In fact, that it doesn't work against Villainous. No, she'd have all these tokens. Villains.
Yeah.
But they wouldn't do anything. So I wasn't necessarily too worried about it.
Mm.
But then it would be interesting to see if she even, because she didn't even roll Poison Ivy, I don't think, properly.
Oh, dear.
To ever name anything that she could have. She didn't even be able to name a Sentinel token with that. So, yeah, it didn't go very well for Jocelyn in that third game.
It doesn't sound like it.
It was very lucky.
Well, I suspect you could probably hear all about her experience on the Double and Dice podcast, which Jocelyn is obviously part of with Kim. No doubt you can hear more about that. Okay, well, that's you after... four rounds.
Indeed.
Three, yes. Should we move on to
the fourth round, last.
Next little bit of audio.
Yeah.
Okay, so we just finished Swiss round. I won my last game against Petrus in a Master Mold duel. Mr. Fantastic coming through a bit clutch. Cut to top four now. So I think there's three Master Molds. Mine, Petrus, and Dwayne. Dwayne and Petrus are going to play each other in semis. And I'm playing Michael. We have a wild card anti-monitor team, which is going to be interesting for sure to play against. Not exactly sure what I'm going to do against it. Maybe some Lilandra rather than just go straight for the mold. We will see. Should be an interesting matchup. A bit nervous about it, but made top four, so all good.
Excellent. So there you are. You won a Master Mold off.
Yeah, I did. I mean, I sound quite blasé against that, but I was very comfortable in the Master Mold matchup.
Right.
The Master Mold matchup in my head was no problem whatsoever.
Because of Mr. Fantastic and...
Exactly. Yeah. Against Petrus, it kind of turned out that way.
Mm.
I don't know if I even bought Master Mold. I don't think I did, in fact.
Really? What did you win with then?
Lilandra.
Really?
Master Mold is so reliant on spending energy.
Yes, it is, yeah.
Lilandra, Mr. Fantastic. I think they were the two things I bought initially.
Mm.
And he just burned himself to death with that Lilandra. And I just kept removing the token of Mr. Fantastic. It was no problem. He couldn't get any more than one token in the field at a time.
Did he never try to force attack her off the field or anything then?
I think it just burns him, right? So if it does, it just comes back around the next time because I get free global, so I'm just Mr. Sinistering all the time. I think that's probably why I didn't get Master Mold.
Yeah.
Because it's like, sort my bag out, make sure my bag's clean. He can force attack Lander through for 5 damage, that's fine.
Yeah.
She'll come back around next turn, burn him anyway. And Mr. Fantastic is still removing those tokens. I think I was removing 2 tokens a turn.
Wow.
And one Master Mold can only generate 3 tokens per turn.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's if you're removing Master Mold every turn, right?
Mm.
So Mr. Fantastic was definitely the key player in that game, as well as Lilandra doing enough damage to burn him. I think it ended up basically that I won against Petrus by buying Villainous Pact without even buying Master Mold. Just Lilandra and Molecule Man was enough to go through.
To do the job. Wow.
After the ladder had burned him enough.
Wow. And then you were into the top 4 cut. So it's semi-final. And you're facing off against a kind of off-meta team.
Mad
pretty
team.
Interesting. Yeah. Should we listen to the team post-match analysis that you recorded at the time?
Okay, so I've just finished semi-finals into top cut. I took down Michael. He had a really interesting rough Starro frontline ding that he just destroyed me in game 2. Lucky I managed to squeeze out game 1 and game 3. Basically, his team was always stopping my Sinister with Pirate Broadcast. And then also, if I could Sinister, he was just stealing those psychics with Starro and frontline and made a really deadly combo. Luckily, basically, I managed to stall him out. And once you got past the initial rush, my control kind of kicked in, and Master Mold tokens were very hard for his team to get rid of. So he had a great team, yeah, very impressive, getting into the top 4. And I'm excited to be in the final. Got a bit of drama over the second semi-final with Petrus and Dwayne. Basically, after time, they are 1 game each, and we're trying to resolve the exact situation. I'll update you as it comes.
Good job of updating.
And that's all she wrote, isn't it?
That's all she wrote. It was intense. I was just distracted by that.
All right. Well, tell us what happened there. What happened in that Dwayne and Petrus semi-final then? What was the resolution or what was decided?
So, me and Michael's game was so fast. It was so ridiculously quick. He won that. He must have won game 2 in maybe 2 minutes. I was just like, crazy.
Was just what, because he just buys Starro that steals your sidekicks?
Oh, it's and just like the front so fire. Yeah, like very little, like, so we'll come back to that, I suppose. But we finished and we had like 20 minutes of just like us hanging out, talking to Arj and Lucan who are like hanging around. And Dwayne won the first game. Against him Petrus's matchup in the semi-final. We were sitting next to them. We kind of like, obviously, keeping tabs. But we knew it was getting close to time, and it was time. 15 minutes in, Dwayne was 1-0 up.
Mm-hmm.
And it went to, obviously, 3 turns. In the last turn of time, Petrus did 24 damage.
Oh, right.
And took it 1-1.
Boom.
So we all were like, what happens now? So it was one of the things that I thought about briefly. And one of the reasons I wanted the Robin actually on my team. The Robin has the same global as the Molecule Man, the free to field global.
Yep.
But when you field a Robin, you KO something
equal
to the number of characters you have.
Yeah.
And why I wanted that was if it ever went to the last, if it was 1-1, I think it happened to be once in Worlds in 2000 and, I know it was, 19, 20?
Yeah.
19.
That sounds about right.
Then we went to, after 1-1, it goes to 5 turns with turn 0 starting. So basically, you each have 3 turns to do the most damage you can.
Yeah.
and I just wanted something cheap to buy to like smack someone.
Mm.
So this is what Petrus and Dwayne faced in the semi-final. So it was 1-1 after time, which meant they went back and forth, turn 0, turn 1, turn 2, turn 3, turn 4, turn 5. Whoever could do the most damage would win.
Oof.
And then we were trying to work out what happens if they don't do the damage, who goes first and what happens. And Nick decided, with some input from Jocelyn and Large and other experienced players who were there, kind of what we'd remembered from previous rule tournaments where you did these 0 to 5 turns,
yeah.
You did a random selection, and then after the 5 turns, it was if someone could do 1 damage.
Yeah,
if one damage won it.
Yeah, yeah.
Which is horrible,
oh,
right?
Oh, awful, yeah.
And Petrus won the roll off, I think, and elected Dwayne to go first.
Right.
Which is very interesting.
Yes.
And I get why he did it, because Master Mold is so much better going second.
Yes, definitely, yeah.
Because you definitely get to prep it turn 3 and get to roll it turn 3.
Yeah.
No matter what, you can pretty much always guarantee you're going to do that.
Yeah.
And I don't know if it paid off. And I don't know if you should have gone for Master Mold in that situation. I was thinking, like, just don't go for, just go for something else. Just try and do, yeah, too big. It's 6 cost.
Yeah.
Both of them went for it. Both of them went for Master Mold, and both of them got it.
Really?
Both of them got Master Mold and got to roll it.
Wow.
Dwayne, he doesn't realize it, but did the perfect rolls turn 1. Turn 1, he rolled 3 sidekicks.
Right.
And when he rolled 3 sidekicks, I was just like, just attack with 1. Just do the 1 damage.
Yeah.
Just do the 1 damage and just sit on 2 sidekicks and just spam the rest of the Sinister block.
But he can't attack turn 1, no?
You can't attack turn 1, yeah, no. But you have 3 sidekicks to do 1. So he, yeah, that's true. Petrus did the perfect Master Mold kind of ramp strategy turn 1. Turn 2 for Dwayne. He got the Master Mold, bought the Master Mold, carried a bunch of sidekicks.
Yeah.
Got Master Mold prepped, did whatever he needed to do. Petrus also bought the Master Mold turn 2 and got it round as well. Dwayne turn, this is his last turn. So I guess it's turn 2 for Dwayne. Rolls the Master Mold, misses the Master Mold, but still has 2 sidekicks out in the field.
Right.
And he did just push with 1 sidekick. And did 1 damage. And saved the rest of the energy to miss Sinister for blockers.
Huh.
Petrus rolled Master Moles on the last turn, but could not get them through because Dwayne had enough for miss Sinister.
Too many blockers.
Wow. Yeah, too many blockers. So there was just the 1 damage from 1 sidekick.
Dear.
And I don't know, I think both of them should have gone, they had Villainous Pact there, right?
Mm.
If you go Villainous Pact and just spam sidekicks out of miss Sinister.
Yeah. Yeah,
at least gives you a way through.
And if you can tee that up so that you essentially do that, ideally you want to be going last, don't you, in that circumstance? And
well, that's what Petrus thought, right? But because of the way Mr. Sinister works, like, yeah, if Dwayne had rolled Master Mold and attacked through with everything, then at least Petrus would have had a clear like field to go through.
Yeah, yeah.
Because Dwayne missed the Master Mold and had rolled so many psychics that first turn,
yeah,
there's just no way you weren't getting past that.
Yeah.
It was a really interesting, tense kind of...
I bet, yeah. And the thing is, it's something that you never normally face, is it? I mean, how many times have you ever played in a situation where it comes to sudden death? Like, virtually
it's
never.
So they both sat back on their, I'm going to do what I would do in a normal game.
Mm.
And it's not a normal game.
No.
Like, but I think, I can't remember who, one of them had Vulcan, which would have given the whole field -2 attack.
Yeah.
Sorry, 2 defense.
Yeah.
So he should have gone for that. Just there'd be no way they could have a field. Yeah.
And it's got decent stats too as well if you want to attack with it.
Yeah. And then Petrus, I think, had Jimmy Olsen. He could have bought a couple of Jimmy Olsens.
Mm.
Just try and get some characters. Some cheap guaranteed.
Stuff. Yeah, definitely. Oh, well, it's the sort of thing that gives the loser sleepless nights, because I know, because I've been there in the European Championships in 2019, losing...
It's so different.
In kind of added on time against James in a semi-final there, where I made a misplay actually that could have won me the game if I'd have done things differently. But you sort of live and learn from these things, don't you? It's but that's really interesting. So yeah, so Dwayne gets through to the final by the skin, well, of a gnat's eyelid.
I mean, just one psychic. I know one psychic.
And
he didn't have to put. But the interesting thing is, it was really good piloting because he didn't have to push. And I don't know that everyone would have.
Yeah.
They would have been like, I just need to defend.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
That's interesting. And that could have turned everything.
Definitely.
And then, but I was already through, so I was sitting happy watching these two. I was like, okay, well, whoever I face in the final, it's Master Mold, so I'm good.
Yeah.
I was very confident. I was like, I know I'm going to play them. I beat Petrus already. I know they both don't have answers to Miss Fantastic.
Yeah.
And I think I can beat them as long as I get through my game with Michael.
Yes.
And his game was so unknown to me going into that kind of semi-final.
So he had the Starro that steals sidekicks, and then he had the front line that gives everything unblocked.
Yeah, I know. It's so weird. He bought Starro. He bought Frontline. That was it. And he just kept rolling psychics. It's just like, no matter what he did, it's just like, I have three psychics now. Yeah. Like, okay.
Well, it's super. I mean, it's super smart, isn't it? Because obviously you're using Sinister, so you're giving him potentially sidekicks.
So it was interesting because the first game went very, very smoothly for me. I got Master Mold out so fast that it was just like, I had so many tokens. It was like, he's not going to do anything. I'm just going to keep churning. He can't do anything against my tokens. He can't remove the tokens. Okay, I won. I've bought Villainous Pact. Yeah, I won it. That's easy. Game two, I was just like, okay, setting up normally, Mr. Sinister. Okay, well, he won now? What?
So what did he do? How did that game go so quickly?
He literally bought Starro turn one.
Yeah.
Turn two, rolled about three, four sidekicks. Turn three, bought Frontline. Turn four, won.
Blimey.
I was just like, okay. Well, I've just bought Master Mold. Because I was going a bit slower than normal, I think.
Yeah.
Than a normal Master Mold team would. It kind of worked out in his favor that I was kind of... And then game three was interesting. It was really close. Because I was very concerned about keeping sidekicks.
Mm.
And I was like, okay, you know what? I'm just going to KO these sidekicks to get rid of them. Because then he can't steal them.
Yeah.
And unless you can get more than two sidekicks in the field...
Yeah.
It's pointless having sidekicks.
Yeah. Yeah.
And, it became very strange. And in game three, I bought Lilandra. I wanted to buy Lilandra the whole time, but it was useless against him because he didn't really care about labels.
No.
He had Pirate Broadcast already, which disrupted me as well. It was just weird. I managed to get enough Molecule Mans and Mystiques out to clear his sidekicks.
Right, yeah.
That kind of worked for me just about. And the longer you could drag the game out against him with Master Mold as kind of the backup win condition,
yeah,
the more effective it was. So that game three, it was just about, I got Mystique out, I got Molecule Mans to keep clearing his field. He can keep Mis-Sincering, that's fine. I can keep removing his psychic so he can't swing at me.
Yeah.
And then eventually I'm going to get Master Mold. Eventually I'm going to get some tokens. Eventually I'm going to win.
It sounds like he could have done with a Vulcan or something like that that would have just automatically KO'd a bunch of weenies.
I think that game three he missed. He could have probably won it with a crazy roll. He ended up having to go Drac control.
Right, yeah.
Because it was taking him a while to get psychics.
Yeah.
Whereas game two especially, he just rolled so many psychics that he just kind of can't do anything. Just once you get five psychics out in the field, he can steal two of yours.
Yeah.
And he has frontline. He needs to get five of them through.
Yeah.
You can't generate that many characters.
No. Oh. Well, and with that, you were through to the final. And obviously, ordinarily, you would have recorded a little bit of audio after the final. But obviously, you were so busy with, like, talking to the media, doing press conferences, getting interviewed, talking to sponsors.
CNBC.
Exactly. That it sort of... escaped your mind, shall we say, to do something at that point. But you did record, I think you did record an interview. Well, you recorded an interview at semi-final stage, didn't you, I think, with Arj and Lucan for their...
Look, I'm not going to blame Arj for distracting me from my own responsibility. And I'm sorry, James, but they interviewed me and then I had to go because it was late in the day. I had to go meet people. Okay, totally. I'm sorry.
So no,
I apologize.
So the big final... The game against Dwayne. What was he playing? He had Master Mold, but a couple of twists.
He had a very similar team to the master mold we kind of saw at Worlds last year. The card pieces that I'd also thought about, Gladiator with Intimidate,
yeah,
and that Distraction Killer,
yeah,
global,
yeah,
which is a great piece. I also, yeah, I just didn't have space for it, to be honest. Mm. And the most interesting card probably is the Locked In Combat.
Yes.
His kind of master mold anti-tech. So you target a character die from each player's field and set them aside until the end of turn.
Yes.
So he can basically pick up a psychic and a token. The token never returns because once they leave the field, they don't exist.
Yeah.
And his psychic would come back and a little bit of ramp for him. And it went in a very traditional master moldy kind of way, uh-huh, for the most part, yeah, in that kind of what I expected. In the first game, I went first, so I went a bit more controlly with master mold. I went Lalandra.
Right.
And similar to what I tried against Petrus in a way, Lalandra, Mr. Fantastic, Molecule Man to try and basically combat his villainous pact, his master mold.
Yeah, yeah.
Miss Fantastic never rolled for me, but Lalandra did roll for me and burnt him a lot. And I was very, 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 very lucky once again. This is, what, the third or fourth time?
There's a theme developing here.
Do you know what it was? It really was a terrible move for me. In any other circumstance other than, like, my ambition to win Worlds, in any other game, in any other tournament, probably I would have been like, you know what, take it back.
What happened?
But, okay, so, so bad. I feel really bad about it still. And Dwayne messed up. So it is on Dwayne. And, like, he was really nice about it. He was lovely about it. And it's a great game. And he probably deserved to win the final. Just, I had that competitive edge. I don't know. Just, I was a jerk, basically. So it went very master moldy, blah, blah, blah. I couldn't roll Miss Fantastic. I could not remove the tokens. The thing that worked so well against Petrus just failed me,
yeah,
completely.
Yeah.
I just couldn't remove his tokens. He kept making tokens. And I was just like, can I buy another Miss Fantastic? Can I buy a master mold? Can I do the thing this turn? Can I just... And it wasn't quite working for me. And for Dwayne, it was working. It was working well. He was churning through... He was getting tokens out. He was being aggressive. He was making smart plays. I had Lalandra out, and he kept taking the damage, which is what you should do against Lalandra. Just take away the damage. It doesn't matter how much damage you take, as long as you can win.
Yeah.
And it got to... He was on 4 life, and he pulled Master Mold. I think he actually got it from the prep area. He had Villainous Pact. He had, like, 10 million energy. I don't know how much energy he had. Lots of energy. And he rolls Master Mold, and he rolls Villainous Pact, and I'm thinking, okay, he's won. Except unless he pays the Molecule Man Global to field Master Mold, and then he has to take 2 life, and then he can't use Villainous Pact. Please, please do that. Please, please do that. And he pays a shield, because it's automatic.
Yeah.
You pay a shield, you field Master Mold. Yeah. It's a 2 discount.
Yeah.
As soon as he rolled, because I think the first roll, he rolled topside Master Mold, which is 3 energy. And you don't want to pay 3 energy to field Master Mold. I was like, okay. If he, because he's going to do it. If he rolls Venus Path, he's going to pay to field. I was like, he's going to pay to do it. And he pays a shield. He fields Master Mold. He takes 2 life. He's down to 2 life. Oh. And he has his Villain's Pact, which now I know he can't use.
Yeah.
And it takes him maybe 10 seconds. He's like, oh, I can't use Villain's Pact now, can I? And I was like, no. he had like 7 other energy on the field. He could have just spent the energy. And he won. He'd won. And I was just like, no. And I was like, I don't want to say you can't take it back, because I do that all the time. I'm the worst person for that as well. I'm like, oh wait, just give me a second. I'll take it back and I will. Yeah, it's fine. And I'm so used to playing online.
Yeah.
I do that all the time.
Yeah, we all do.
And it was just like, as soon as he paid it, I think Arj and Lucan were watching like behind, and I looked up. And Lucan kind of like just like looks at Arj, and like he knows that Dwayne messed up as well.
Right.
So basically, Dwayne could not use Villainous Pact.
No.
And Villainous Pact makes it so I can't block with anything, which would mean he won.
Yeah.
But if he uses Villainous Pact, he takes the 2 damage.
He dies.
Or 2 life. He pays 2 life from Lalandra, which means he would die.
Yeah.
So yeah, he does this. And he's just like, I can't use villain's hack now, can I? I'm like, no. And then Nick, who's a judge, is sitting next to us. He's like, look, once you've done something, you can't take it back.
Right.
And I was like, oh, just okay. I'm just going to sit quietly. And Dwayne was very accepting of the fact that he messed up. He was very, like, courteous about it completely. And, yeah, just like, he should have won that game. There was no way he should have not won that game.
Oh, that is bad.
Apart from a misplay. And
that is rough.
It's gutting, obviously.
That is rough. I mean, it's terrible. At the end of the day, you know, I think the thing about the Dice Masters community is that everybody, you know, has
apart from me, the jerk.
No, I mean, I wouldn't say that because I've, you know, we've played competitive games, and I know that loads of other people would have played competitive games against you, in which you were doing things that would allow that kind of thing, or in the days gone by, reminding people.
I would have. I know just,
that kind of thing. But this is the World Championship.
That's why I felt so bad. I know
it's the World Championship.
That if it wasn't the World Championship final. Just something in me at that moment was like, no, I have to be a jerk. I have to. I can't. Like, I would at any other stage. Like, and the worst thing, I'd seen it coming. I knew he was going to do it. As soon as he rolled that 3 energy fielding cost on Mr. Master Mold, I was like, I know he's going to play the global because that's what you do.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. Yeah, it's really rough. It's really rough. But then, you know, it is the World Championships. And, I mean, credit to Dwayne if he took it so well. And
he took it so well. I mean, he took it so, so well. It's just like, yeah. And, I mean, I made a mess of that first game because I pushed with a bunch of stuff when maybe I shouldn't have pushed with a bunch of stuff. Mm. And that first game went terribly for me, basically. And also, the second game didn't go great for me. Like, it was very aggressive again. Yeah. This time, we both got Master Mold. We both were just swinging at each other. And Dwayne missed a roll. And it's very similar to what happened against Elliot. It's very similar to what happened against Justin. They just missed a roll. Mm. And he missed the Villainous Pact, I think. And next turn, I got him. I just had the Villainous Pact as well.
Yeah,
And I bought Villainous Pact way earlier than I would have normally in that second game because I was like, there's no hope in hell. He's so much faster than me.
Right.
I just need to hope that I just pull a God roll with the Villainous Pact and the Master Mold at the same time and get enough damage through. And again, it was one turn. It was just a roll that could have come off, and it didn't for him. And second game, I got him on a roll. So at least that second game wasn't his fault. It was just a roll.
Yeah.
But yeah, it should have gone down to at least game 3.
It's tough. And who knows what would have happened in that game? You may well have won that game anyway if your Mr. Fantastic had cooperated.
Possibly. I mean, Mr. Fantastic just didn't roll for me in the first game. Mm. So So it was very lucky, and it was, just terrible luck from Dwayne. He played a very, very good tournament that probably the, like I said, in against Petrus, that push for that one sidekick in the last moments of game of turns was a really clever play. That was just like a really instinctive, great quality play. And that's probably the best play I've ever seen live in that kind of pressure to just remember, oh yeah, I'll push you one sidekick. I'll keep the rest behind.
Yeah.
Give you that one damage to win. Great tournament from him. And if it hadn't been the world's final, if it had been something else, then it probably would have gone better for him. And I probably would have been less inclined to just need to go for that win.
Yeah. It's tough. But there it is. Yeah, and you were crowned world champion for the second time. The first player in the history of the game.
I know. It was such a relief. I was just like, yeah. Obviously, this game means a lot to me, and it's not very nice to be world champion. If I'd gone and not won because of I don't know, it would have been very upsetting. So,
and it took a lot of practice. The practice paid off, obviously.
It did. I mean, it did. Yeah. And obviously, Dwayne, and all the guys from, I think it's Mississippi. I might be completely wrong about that. Wherever they're from, Dwayne, Ian, and Dwayne and those guys. Their gameplay is very unknown to the online community, but they're all great players.
Mm. Okay.
Dwayne, Ian and Charlie are just all really good players. Yeah, and it's interesting playing against people you don't play against in the online tournament. They obviously all are very avid players. They just didn't have Super Rare Landra, so they hadn't practiced against it.
Right. Interesting, yeah. I mean, on that, how much did you use Landra?
I mean, it won me at least 3 games.
It did, yeah.
Because it's a shield. It's just, I don't have quite enough to buy Master Mold and the perfect roll. By Landra, I have so many globals, they're going to burn themselves.
Yeah. Without doubt, yeah.
So it gave me a fighting chance in a lot of games.
Yeah, it's a good call. So now you become double world champion. You've been Canadian national champion. You've been UK champion.
Woo!
I
lost in the final of US Nationals and in the semi-finals of US Nationals, I think.
Right. That's the next one to target, is it? Whenever that comes around.
And Euronats, which obviously...
Oh, yeah, you've never been to.
Never been to.
No, well, Peter remains the...
Indeed.
He
always beats me.
The champion. Yeah, and you could have your work cut out.
I'm trying for that one.
If you want to knock that one off as well. What was your kind of hardest matchup, do you think, over the course?
Elliot.
The very first game, the infiltrate.
I mean, control. To be honest, I don't think I played very well all day. And I think all of the matches, I think apart, again, I don't think Lucan will mind me saying, apart from the Lucan game, they were all quite challenging.
Yeah.
Lucan just completely misbought and misread the meta.
Yeah.
But every other game was a slog and could have gone either way. And I was very lucky in at least three or four of the games to come out as I did.
Yeah.
I
mean, that's often the way, isn't it? When you have something that is, albeit only slightly better maybe at the moment than everything else, it is going to kind of create these sloggy matchups that, you know.
Yeah, I mean, Master Mold is still the best.
Yeah.
But I was, because I was running a slightly slower Master Mold, it gave me some flexibility. It gave me the opportunity to pivot. It gave me opportunities to kind of get lucky, I suppose. Yeah. And that's all I can ask for. It was probably the worst tournament I played in, like, that I've won.
Personally speaking, you mean?
Yeah, from a kind of consistency in not making mistakes, not, like, in knowing my team. Because the ramp is so weird, it's just all global heavy. Yeah.
Well, we can add you back onto the... I don't think, actually, your description as world champion ever disappeared off our website, but we can... If it did, we can add it back.
Keep me up there.
We can add it back.
Yeah.
Fantastic. We should talk a little bit about the fan appreciation event. Did you go to that?
No.
Okay.
Again, you need tickets. You need a ticket. Like, yeah, no, of course. I don't want to do a ticket.
They did have a fan appreciation.
Late in the day, I was out with my friends.
Of course. They did so WizKids did a fan appreciation event, and we heard snippets from it, but Dice Masters was barely mentioned, if I'm interpreting what people said.
Yeah, no, effectively it was mentioned in a rather fortuitous way for us, I suppose, in that I think they had no intention of talking about it. Just it happened.
Someone asked.
Shockingly for WizKids, their AV tech and their organization was not on point.
Ah.
A bit controversial, I suppose. No, I don't know, just something went wrong with AV, so they had a Q&A.
Oh, I see.
And that gave Jocelyn et al. And Jocelyn Rob in particular, I don't know who else was there, to kind of get some Q&As about Dice Masters, which I don't think would have happened necessarily.
Excellent. Yeah.
Without those technical flaws. Yeah. So they got to ask some questions. It's a bit of a mixed bag, really. I mean, obviously, it's not great news. It seems like House of X is going to be out. Mm-hmm. But after that, there's no immediate news for it.
Yeah.
Seems like possibly something's going to happen where they shift. They have such a good game. TCGs are very popular at the moment. They're having a resurgence.
Yeah.
Games like Keyforge going onto Kickstarter and making $1 million.
Right, yeah.
It seems like there's space for it to kind of come back in a way.
Yeah.
I think WizKids needs to work out what that way is.
I mean,
my personal guess is that they'll do some kind of Kickstarter for it with some kind of IP that we haven't seen before.
Yeah, interesting. But Marvel's been the big one. I mean, for me, that was one of the things that got me into the game in the first place, the fact that it was Spider-Man and it was Captain America and it was Iron Man and these all these other characters that you enjoy playing. You
know? I know, I always talk about the fact that Human Torch, I hate that card, as it turns out, but the fact that Human Torch was kind of sitting there throwing fireballs as other characters came out, and dealing one damage, I thought that was so cool.
Yeah, makes it wonderful.
So it'd be sad, but I think the game system is so strong.
Yeah.
Quarriors was still very popular. It would be weird. And the quality of the sets they're producing, the Secret Wars.
Yeah, good, yeah.
it's still a fantastic set.
It really is, yeah.
So the design team is obviously there. Yeah. So I mean, if they, I wouldn't be that bothered if they just said we're going to just do D&D sets from now on.
I mean, we obviously neither of us were there, so we didn't hear verbatim what was said in the room. But what we've heard in dispatches is that there was questions asked about the future sets. The answer came back, if it's in the solicits, we will release it, which everybody's interpreted as saying, yes, okay, House of X
is definitely
will be coming. Obviously, I think everyone's a bit concerned because we haven't seen any spoilers or anything, any advanced publicity relating to that particular set. It's been pushed back and pushed back and pushed back. Now it's scheduled, I think, for the end of the year.
Yeah.
Whether it will come then, I'm not entirely confident. They did also apparently talk about the fact that they've been a bit disappointed with the sales for Dice Masters, which, you know, I can totally understand. I think.
I mean, it's not surprising. They haven't, I mean, yeah, whose fault that is up for debate, I suppose.
Yes. And I think a lot of the players would say, well, if you delivered the sets on time and you promoted it a bit more, you know, you don't appreciate what you've got on your hands, maybe.
Yeah.
But yes, it will be interesting to see what happens. I mean, yeah, I think a lot of players feel like, why would they go to the time and effort of redesigning the basic outline of all the cards and everything?
Really weird.
Only to dump the game. That would be surprising. And
yeah, I mean, if they were hedging on our rebranding of Secret Wars to kind of bring back life to the game, and then they were disappointed by the Secret Wars sales, I mean, Where have they promoted it? It's not had any kind of reviews on it. I mean, I follow enough of the board game channels. If there was a review of Dice Masters, Secret Wars, I would know about it.
Sure. Yeah. Yeah, it was well sort of provided for within the Dice Masters community, wasn't it? But then you're preaching to the converted, aren't you, So, yes, we would have to see what happens. But that's probably a subject for another day. Given that obviously neither of us actually heard what was said in the room for ourselves. But yeah, so that was Gen Con. Overall, Ben, pretty successful, I'd say.
Yeah, I mean, crazy stuff. Some of the stuff, I mean, the tournament was fantastic. Some of the games we played were fantastic. Disney Lorcana was insane. It was a really cool convention. If you can get out into Indiana, hit me up. I have some local spots you should try.
Excellent. And what did you win?
A lovely plaque.
Oh, yeah.
And a factory set.
Hooray! Not Yu-Gi-Oh this time.
No, of the Secret Wars stuff. Except it didn't come with the bloody full arts.
Really? Really?
Yeah. I know.
That's surprising. What you had? I know. You've got what? A foil and a normal version of all of the cards, have you? But no full full arts.
Yeah.
It's not a factory set then, is it, arguably?
No. Bit annoying, because I've got most of the stuff. I just want the full arts.
Oh, dear.
I don't have Wonder Woman still as well, so if you have a Wonder Woman and want some Secret Wars super rares, let me know.
You've got a Wonder Woman. You need a Wonder Woman.
I don't. I need a Wonder Woman. If you need some Secret Wars
it's super rares, the only rares, card you've got,
I want to trade. That's the only card I'm missing that isn't a
You can trade big for a Wonder Woman. Yeah,
but not a promo Jubilee.
Oh no!
Thank you, Rob, for that.
Very good. All right, well, shall we wrap that little segment? Well, it wasn't a little segment. It was a humongous segment.
The long segment.
That big segment up there and move on to our next bit. Okay, well, while the real worlds were going on over in Indiana, the rest of the worlds were being hosted, an in-person event at the same time, being held in Swindon, Wiltshire, in the good old UK. It was staged by Rob, Collector Rob, from Breath Weapon X, and we had an event which was just a straight-up modern Smashy Mouth event. I managed to get along, and there were a total of 5 players. It was quite a small event, as it turned out. But we had a good old time. It was absolutely tipping it down outside. The rain was torrential, but the dice rolling was a lot of fun. We had a lot of great games. There was a real variety of teams, and it was a really good event. So, Rob, thank you for putting it on. Do you want to talk a little bit about how it happened? Because I feel like I don't want to ask myself all the questions.
No, I've been very interested about this. So, what did you play?
So, well, you might have been able to predict that I went for a Master Mold team. Surprise.
Unsurprising. I know.
Yeah. Maybe I,
we're a bit spammy, aren't we, really?
Mr. Unpopular, because I was the only one who decided to go down there.
Apart from Peter, we're all pretty much just whoever's going
to
win.
Yeah, although to be fair, he played Master Mold, didn't he, at Dice Fight XL?
Oh, yeah, he's spammy. Yeah. As well. We're all spammy.
He can't resist it.
No, so you played just a traditional Master Mold, or did you do any of the...
Pretty much. I mean, basically, I didn't go for some of the more quirky off-meta choices that you had, but I had obviously Dark Phoenix, Mr. Sinister. I went for Tombstone as my Intimidator.
Very nice.
And also because he's a villain as well, and he's got some really good stats on his big side. I had the Molecule Man with Deadly, obviously the villain who obviously has the shield to field characters for free. Then Master Mode Wolverine, and then Invisible Woman with the Force Block.
Interesting.
And then I went for Slingers and Villainous Pact. So, I had a weird, slightly weird thing of a Force Block and a Force Attack. But I kind of like the idea of pairing Force Attacks with a Deadly character like Molecule Man. Because obviously the timing of a Force Attack is, I think, better than KOing something on your own turn.
Like, yeah, it is, but it's definitely nice to have the option.
Yeah, absolutely.
What so what happened with the five rounds? So you, sorry, five players, how many rounds?
Yeah, well, basically what we decided was that we thought it would be great. I mean, ordinarily in that circumstance, you would just play three rounds because you've only got five players, but then one person would have a bye each time, so a bunch of players would only play two games, which would have been rubbish. Yeah. So we decided that everybody would play everybody. We'd do four rounds and so that everybody could get to play four games, obviously, as we traveled all that way. And it was a really good afternoon. So I started with a game against Matt, who traveled down from Basingstoke.
This Matt Appleton.
Yeah, it was, yes.
I'm excited he has an wish to talk about the event he has coming up.
Yeah, he has indeed. Yeah, he's planning to do an event hopefully next month in Basingstoke. Yeah. His team never really got going against my Master Mold, so the match didn't last very long. Once Master Mold, it only actually lasted a bit longer because it took me until my sixth roll to actually get Master Mold on a character face.
Wow, if Master Mold rolls very cleanly, it's very difficult to stop and just even if it misses, it kind of the implied pressure of it coming onto the field. Totally.
Yeah,
I mean, your opponent's kind of like, oh no, I'm gonna lose this turn. What should I do?
Totally. Yeah, and he didn't have much control, so it was kind of difficult to stop when I did finally get him in the field. Then I played Mike Relentless Nettles, who had travelled from Colchester, which is right in the east of England, basically from France. He'd been on holiday in France with his family. He lives in Liverpool, which is up north, and he'd done an absolutely mega bit of driving to get there. So
he's so lovely, Mike.
He was great. He was knackered, but he was brilliant. And we had a game. So he had some control. He had Drax and other bits and bobs, but was using Mary Shazam as his win con.
Oh, interesting.
It's really interesting, yeah.
The big, big dude.
Yeah. So she's the one that gets a buff every time you spend any energy. And our game, basically, he got Lilandra out and Drax fairly early. And
yep, if you don't have Mystique, that's a problem.
That was tricky, yeah. I bought an early Master Mold and had plenty of opportunities to get him into the field. But again, well, this time it was even worse than in the previous game. I missed him six times in a row.
Wow.
And then it was only on turn seven at time seven and eight when Drax was actually active at this point stubbornly came out as a character. So I ended up buying Thor because I had the super rare Thor as my kind of pivot piece, so I'd actually bought both of them at this point.
Yeah, that's not good.
No, and a Tombstone.
It sounds good, but it's not good.
No, it wasn't good because it was just meant I had too many dice in rotation. It was just getting too messy. And eventually, I'd basically smacked myself in the face down to eight life. And then when he finally bought a Mary Shazam, which was very late in the game, because my Tombstone was stopping his Drax and you know, obviously Drax is intimidated when he comes back to the field.
It's a lot of energy. It uses a lot of energy to kind of keep control.
Yes, certainly. But then he just needed basically one turn where he could get a big fat Mary Shazam and just about managed to win as time was expiring. So that was
he won overall, didn't he?
He did, yeah. He went on to win the remainder of his other two games, and so he won the tournament overall. So many congratulations to him. But it was a very frustrating game for me because I just felt if I'd have rolled, you know, I had him on the back foot right from the start.
Yeah.
But just because, you know, I got an early tombstone as well to knock out his...
You have to do what I did and salt water test all your masters.
Did you do that?
No. Although I did get one of my friends to... I have 5 Master Mold dice and I put 3 on my team. Yeah. And the day before I left to go to America, we did spend about, half an hour rolling the 5 dice and seeing which dice rolled the best. Me and my friend Dan.
It did the trick. Obviously, it did the trick. I wish I'd done the same because I wanted to throw this die out of the window come the end of the afternoon. And then I had a game against Flint, a young lad who I think played at the UK Games Expo, I think last year. He came along and he was great. He had a team that he had a bit of rush going on. He had Mr. Sinister. And actually, he caused Mike a great deal of problems because he had the Mr. Sinister that when he would be KO'd, you can KO a sidekick instead. So that completely
He's a villain negates, as well, so that's hard to...
It completely negates
Mary Shazam's
overcrash.
Oh, yeah.
Which is really cool. So he did give Mike quite a bit of a headache, but Mike did manage to overcome him. But that was really cool. And then Rob himself, who, again, he was playing he'd obviously decided against playing Master Mold and decided to go for something a bit more off meta himself.
Well, he loves doing that. Yeah, he loves punishing himself. By playing something wacky.
Yeah, so our game was over pretty quickly because it couldn't really cope with an overwhelming Master Mold that actually rolled this time. And that was that. So anyway, it was a great tournament. Rob got some good prizes because he got a Dark Phoenix promos set.
Okay.
So I was able to at least nab a Hellfire Gala, which is really satisfying.
Well,
that was my
one of the great things about another great thing about going to America is they all have Dark Phoenix.
They got them coming out of their ears.
I mean, I have about 5 sets. I'm not joking.
Really? Wow.
So I will distribute them as and when I can in the UK.
Fantastic.
So maybe for Matt Appleton's event.
Oh, brilliant! Yeah, that would be.
Definitely. Hellfire Gala is very hard to find on this shore.
For sure it is.
And I have some, and everyone was very generous in giving me their spare copies.
That's good to hear. So many thanks to Rob for running the event. I did record an interview with Mike at the scene.
Oh, cool.
Well, actually, it was in my car afterwards because the venue was a bit noisy. We had some very loud... Yu-Gi-Oh! Players, I think it was. It wasn't Pokemon, so I think that probably means it was Yu-Gi-Oh!, doesn't it? Who were playing in the room next door, and they were being extremely noisy. So I thought, well, let's go into the car. So I recorded a bit of audio with Mike, and let's have a listen to that now. Okay, well, I'm here with Mike Relentless Nettles. We've just finished the Rest of the World's tournament here in Swindon, and Mike was the victor. Congratulations, Mike. How are you feeling?
Very, very tired. Extremely fatigued. I'm made up to win. But I've just come back off a 2-week camping holiday and I've done about 18 hours worth of driving in 2-3 days. I'm absolutely... Are we allowed to swear on this?
Preferably not.
I'm on my backside at the moment. We'll put it that way.
Very good. Yeah, you've driven from Colchester, haven't you? I think all the way here to Swindon, which is quite the trek just to be here. But tell the listeners a little bit about what team you played that took you to victory.
Okay. I hadn't seen it played in a while, so I pulled out Mary Shazam, mainly because I'd seen, I believe it's the Rare Maker from Secret Wars, that when you field it, you can spin down X number of your dice, and the opponent has to do the same. And I just thought that's pure fodder to fuel Mary, basically.
And yeah.
If you can spin down enough fists or bolts or some, I mean, it was fists on my team, that you could use the pump global to make her absolutely massive and then swing through. But yeah, didn't get to pull off the full combo because it is quite expensive. But luckily, some of the other pieces came together to help me get across the line.
Very good. And Mary Shazam, just in case people don't know, that gets buffed basically every time you spend energy, doesn't it? So, every time you do anything, even buy anything, she gets buffed. But then if you use a buff on her, then she gets a double buff, basically, doesn't she? And then gets monstrously big.
Once you get her over 10, then she gains Overcrush. If you manage to get her to 12, she can't be spun out or re-rolled, although that's, you know, a defensive side. But yeah, if you spend it on anything, but yeah, pump globals. So I had the Arctic Breath basic action with the fist pump global on it. So yeah, as soon as you pump that for one, she gets one from her ability because you've spent it, and obviously one from the global itself. So it's two for each fist. And if I managed to get a couple of, I was using the Rare Wong, if I could spin down a couple of them, that's four fists straight away. So yeah, it can be quite brutal once you get it lined up.
Yeah. And we played four rounds. Broadly speaking, just quickly give an overview of how your games went. Were they all plain sailing, or were there a few close calls in there?
No, I mean, a couple of them weren't too bad. Luckily, I was helped by your good self on our game by just falling into the Lalandra trap and keep using globals while she's out and keep paying the energy cost, because as Ben would say, it is a resource, and I agree wholeheartedly, but when you're taking nearly half your life off...
Yeah.
Through self-abuse, then it's it really helps.
Yeah.
It also really helps when you don't roll master molds, which I know you'll be throwing those dice in the bin as soon as you get home.
Yeah.
So, yeah, no, I was clinging to life in our game. I've never used Drax so much in my life ever. Literally had to buy two to keep refilling it, keep blocking either Thor or master mold with yourself. So, yeah, that was really tough. Flint had a really good game, actually. I completely overlooked he was using one of the Sinisters off Marvel Secret Wars. I can't remember which one of those off the top of my head, but if he gets KO'd, he can KO a psychic instead, so it negates all the damage from him, which completely stops all the overcrush damage from...
Yeah.
So I had to go a little bit sideways, but luckily I had the rare Hawkman, so he can't be blocked by anything that costs three or less.
Yeah.
So literally, I could just throw that through with the pump global and get it through.
Yeah.
Rob, he won't like to say it, but he was a little bit more straightforward. So I managed to just go through with him quite easily. Well, not quite easily, but it didn't take all that long.
He had a slightly more esoteric team, didn't he, really?
Yeah, it was the rare Corvus Glaive, and he was buying up the cheap one-cost Harleys and then sending them back from used.
Yeah.
But yeah, he completely missed that I Draxed his Storm. And then he re-rolled his Storm dice. So he had two on character faces, and he completely fluffed it.
Oh, no.
So he lost that on four energy and just lost a load of ramp. And I mean, normally, if it was one of our casual games, I would have let him know, but I was kind of just cringing around the side of the table going, please notice this giant marker I've put on your card. But it wasn't to be. And then, the last game against Matt was it went right down to the wire.
Yeah.
You'll have to forgive me. I can't remember fully what he was running, but I was just it was
he had like the one cost Harley and then a bunch of other
it was the six cost Invisible Woman, the super rare, which gives plus three attack to anything that attacks and also re-rolls two things when it's fielded. So I was literally just Draxing that all the time, but he was buying, I think he bought a Thor, he bought two Spider-Man, rare Spider-Man.
Yeah.
So there was lots of horrible stuff coming the way, but managed to just fight some of it off and then roll through with the Mary eventually.
There were so many dice on the table in that game. It was just absolutely ridiculous. Oh, they were everywhere.
Yeah, no.
What was going on?
We were both rolling horribly as well. So we were both rolling like six, seven dice each turn. It was just absolutely strange back and forth. But it was great to see everyone in person again. It would have been lovely to have a bigger turnout. But I'm quite thankful that no one else turned up, because no one else just made it a little bit easier. Didn't take any of the shine off, though. I really enjoyed the day. But it's really great to see Flint, who's one of our brand new players. He's been to the Games Expo a few times, and he's obviously very young. It's just great to play in person. I think playing it over summer holidays kind of limited the amount of people that can come.
Yeah.
But hopefully either Rob or myself or a few of others are looking to put some more tournaments together in person going forward. So hopefully we'll be able to to build on the community and get some more players involved.
Yeah, very good. Now, just on reflection, looking at your team, is there anything that you would change now that you've played that team a little bit? Is there any sort of meta decisions that you made that you think, oh, actually, maybe I should have played that instead?
Quite possibly. I mean, for a long time, it was a big toss-up between making it a fist-centric team or a bolt-centric team for the pump globals and for the cheap cost cards. But with the amount of meta control cards at the moment, I went for more removal, and there wasn't a great deal of like two-cost bolt characters that have good removal. I mean, you've got the Dazzler that does damage, but again, because it only does two damage, it's not going to kill a Drax or something like that, whereas the reroll on the Wong I was using could possibly be more useful. But it could have gone either way. And I'll be honest, I was team building on the ferry coming back from France last night. I was telling Rob to bring
a man after my own heart, I would say.
I know, literally. So it could have easily shifted that way.
Yeah.
I mean, I didn't use the Maker at all, but that was the whole... That between that and the Mary Marvel was the whole combo. So I would still keep that, because if you can get it to come off, it would be absolutely huge. And I think I had enough control to deal with what was there.
Yeah.
But no, largely pretty happy with it. I didn't use frontline a great deal, but I didn't really need to. And even the global on the Hawkman, that stops people interfering with my attacking characters. Mm. So I was looking for things like distraction and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Didn't need it in this case, but again, if you played another four or five games, you'd be running into distraction anyway.
Yeah.
So
yeah, nobody had a Thor team, outright Thor team, did they today, for example?
Not fully, no.
Meant more distractions and things like that.
No. So, I mean, there could be modifications, but, I mean, it's everyone can modify every team to the nth degree, can't you? Absolutely. It's dead easy to do. If I played it more, then I could possibly give you better information. But, no, I'm pretty happy with that.
Good. Well, very many congratulations. Thanks for taking the time to talk to us. And a safe journey back to, well, all the way back north via a very long way east.
Oh, man, I've got to go back to Colchester. I've got 2.5 hours back to Colchester tonight. And then in the morning, I've got, well, 5 hours or so back to Liverpool, so... Yeah, it's all fun, but I'm going to take a week off instead. So.
Safe travels.
Cheers, man. All the best.
All right, well, that was Mike Relentless Nettles. Many congratulations. He is the rest of the world's champion, if you can call him.
Woo!
Well done to him.
I haven't even won that.
You've not even won that. No, that's right, yeah. Yeah, so good stuff for Mike. Thanks very much. And again, thanks to Rob for putting that event on. It was a lot of fun. Should we just round off with a bit of AOB? All right, well, there's not much to mention in the AOB because we've been wanging on for absolutely ages, and we should probably let you go and do something more productive rather than listen to us in your ear holes. But one thing that we should mention is that if you are a UK-based player, as Ben alluded to in the previous segment, Matt from Basingstoke is hoping to arrange an in-person tournament next month at some point.
I'm very excited. Yeah.
Sorry?
Yeah, I'm very excited. Either the 16th or the 30th of September, I believe.
Yeah, date to be confirmed.
Saturday, yeah.
But if you go into the DM Unlimited Facebook page, then he's been putting the details in there, and there is a challenge page that he's already set up. I think he's just negotiating with the shop about when it's actually going to happen. But do keep an eye out for that, because that's going to be a lot of fun. And it sounds like, Ben, there could be some good prizes.
I'm bringing a lot of prizes, yeah. And I think Matt's very busy organising prizes as well, so he seems to have stuff under control.
It sounds like he's got a bunch of local players who are keen to play. It's going to be, the format, I think, is going to be single affiliation, I believe.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's anything ever single affiliation, which I'm kind of excited about. I've had Harpy Lady Sisters in my mind for a long time. I don't know if they're an affiliation. Yeah, so I don't know what I'm doing, but I'm doing something.
Fantastic Four, eh? That's the way to go now.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
Actually, get them all, get the whole gang together.
Nah, that's boring. I have to run Human Torch.
Yeah, so do keep an eye out for that. Obviously, Dice Fight continues. We don't have James here with us to tell us what the next Dice Fight things are, but if you're free on a Thursday night, it's 9 p.m. UK time. There's an online community that runs it through the Discord channel, and there'll be a link in the show notes.
Yeah, I mean, I have to say big shout out to them. They also helped me tremendously in secret test stuff Because I was putting up fake teams on the dice fight. That's how petty I was. That's how determined I was to win.
Distraction. Exactly. Yep. Very good. Very good. All part of the grand plan. So that takes place on a Thursday evening. Do get involved in that little group if you can. If you want to send us an email, you can do that. It would be great to hear from you. If you've got any thoughts or reflections on the World Championships, or indeed on the rest of the world, or on any of the news that came out from the fan appreciation event. Were you there? Did you hear what was said in the room? What did you think? You can send us an email by using hello@dmunited.eu. Other than that, it's been really good to have your company over the course of this episode. Thank you very much for joining us. It would be great if you would leave us a review using your favourite podcast app. Don't forget to subscribe, and then you can be the first to know about a new episode when it drops. But until the next time, from me and him, it's goodbye.
Bye.